hosting every week. Louis van Gaal's Army! Louis van Gaal's Army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Not so much best news these days.
Hey, we lived to see another day in the Champions League. We actually qualified, make it through. We knew that going in, but again, we are lamenting the game today. Valencia 2, Manchester United 1 at the Mestalla Stadium in Valencia, Spain. Tough loss. It was just, again, typical United this season. Looked bad, was bad. A lot of money on that field, and they did not perform to their potential. We had Fred for how many? 60 million. Lukaku for 80. Pogba for 89. And obviously Fellaini, he cost a few pennies, but
worth it. He looked worth it on the pitch today. It's not even the problem that he lost, or it's the problem that we lost so pathetically. It was like an abject performance. We could have lost by 4 goals in this game, but it's the fact that young boys beat Juventus, bro. We could have won the group and not had to play like Barca or Real next, which, you know, we're not going to get a good draw. We don't deserve a good draw.
We do not deserve a good draw.
We're not getting Porto,
especially after that gutless. Away and home tie against Sevilla.
That's true.
Last year. And, you know, this is a huge missed opportunity. It looks like the team and the manager do not make the most of our opportunities this year. 16 points off the first place team in the league. You think we might want to win this game to ensure we can go deeper in the Champions League tournament. And you kind of see this side. Jose jumping in the lineup here, kind of plays this makeshift side. Clearly, he's got Liverpool on his mind here. Romero comes in goal. Valencia at right back. Baye and Jones center back pairing with Rojo at left back. Been a while since he's played out there. Fred, Fellaini, and Pogba in the midfield. A lot of people want to see that Fred-Pogba combination. Well, they got to see it today. Andres comes in on the left wing. Lukaku playing the number 9, and then Juan Monta on the right. So Jose did play the former Valencia players per my comment last podcast. But again, what do you think of this lineup?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think this team's good enough to beat Valencia, right? 15th in La Liga. Not a lot of speed on it, right? You're not going to be able to catch him on the break. I guess the fastest guy on the pitch is Lukaku, and he's not as fast as he used to be. It might be Eric Baye, actually. But I think he's got to be saving his boys for the weekend, right? He had to be saving Jesse and Rashford. And Martial, I don't know, he's still injured, but Rashford came on and made an immediate impact. Like, his speed was, I mean, it was because Lukaku battered him for 60 minutes, but as soon as Rashford came on, he changed the game. But that being said, it's like, it was a pretty ugly game, sir.
Yeah, I think Jose made a calculated bet, and the calculated bet would say, like the bookies, it's a 1 in 7 chance that young boys are going to beat Juventus. This is a throwaway match. Give the ex-Valencia players a ride here, and then throw in some players that aren't going to play at the weekend so that they can get other players can rest for Liverpool, or maybe he's auditioning some players for Liverpool. But either way, he did not line up to win the match, at least kind of what I saw. This was not a must-win game for Jose Mourinho going in, and the performance kind of showed that. And clearly a disappointing loss and a huge missed opportunity for Manchester United going into the round of 16. We desperately need to get past our opponent in the round of 16, and now we're behind the eight ball.
You don't want to, like fall on your face leading up in the game against Liverpool, right? Top of the table, bro. Liverpool is 16 points ahead of us. Top of the table, number one in the league, bro. And I don't know. You play like this, you're going to get torn apart. You'll lose by 5 goals.
How is he our manager, right? How is that not a fireable offense? Not only is the first place team Liverpool.
Eddie, bro. Ask Eddie.
You got to ask Eddie Woodward. He's got all the questions, but for now, we're just going to jump into the first half. Straight off the bat, did not look too hot to trot. 11th minute, yellow card for Valencia. He went hard in on Lato, Valencia's left back. I thought this was pretty funny, considering he was screaming, like a blood-curdling scream on the ground, rolling around. It was definitely a harsh challenge, but he kind of went down like it was a leg break, and then he comes on 5 minutes later, he's okay, and actually gets a yellow card. So
he did.
Kind of making a meal of it, La Liga style, but I thought this was a hard challenge for Valencia. Definitely cheeky stuff.
It was a yellow. I think it'd be harsh to be a red. It's definitely a tough tackle. Definitely a yellow. But it was just kind of like, that was a kind of a frustrating element, right? There were a lot of players, like, they hit the ground real easy, a lot of screaming. He wasn't the first player to scream and wasn't the last player to scream this day. So you couple that with a poor performance from United, it was just not fun to watch United down in Valencia.
When has United been fun to watch this season, sir? Other than Fulham.
Fulham. What a game.
Yeah, we could always, there's always Fulham in our hearts. 17th minute goal, Valencia. Fellaini's nutmegged on the left-hand side. Rojo's beaten. Cross makes it into the box, and Jones heads it right to Valencia's Carlos Soler, who picks his spot and coolly finishes lower left-hand side of the goal. Maybe De Gea would have saved it. I think it actually went through Bailly's legs. Either way, great finish from the Valencia midfielder, and we are down early, per the usual this season.
Sounds about right, sir. I think De Gea would have saved it. That's no... you know, no slate on Romero, but I think, like, De Gea saves those. Romero doesn't. I don't think you're supposed to save those, but that's lazy defending all around. A lot of ball watching. Jones should have gotten rid of the ball and then just headed it to another player in the box. But
or
sir,
headed it out.
Headed out. Give it away a corner. We got size, right?
He put it right into a
right
danger.
To him, bro.
Right
to him.
In the box, right into the danger area. Jones with a mare of a game, 17 minutes in.
He did worse. Don't worry.
And then in the 30th minute, that same left-hand side where Rojo is playing was exposed again. Great cross in by the Valencia right winger. Batshuayi, free header on goal. Should have been a goal. And actually headed off his head, off his head, then his shoulder, then out of bounds. We were lucky, but again, Valencia exposing that weakness down the left. Rojo to blame there. Again, he hasn't played left back in a while. I'm looking at you, Jose Mourinho. What are you trying to rest Ashley Young? Is that the issue here?
Basically, I mean, like, looks like it.
That math does not make sense to me, considering we are in a better position in the Champions League tournament than we are in the league. And Jose grasping at straws here. Got to blame the manager on this one here. United looking vulnerable early.
Should have gone down 2-0 right there. Yeah, Rojo at left back, bro. He's not a left back. He's a center back. And he can do a fine, decent job at center back, but he cannot play left back. And he got exposed a number of times. But that's, he's, you know what? He's probably more worried about getting ripped apart by Liverpool. And that might cost him his job, bro. Apparently, it's week to week at this point.
I can only dream it will cost him his job. 35th minute.
Not that lucky.
Chance. Corner for United. Finds Fellaini's head. The ball rolls across the six-yard box straight to Pogba, who has an open net, easy tap-in, mate, and he chunks it. So if, you know, there was any hope for Pogba to kind of ignite United to a win here, this is it. And boy, did he rue that chance, sir.
And that was our best chance of the half. We didn't have any shots on target in the first half.
What's going
on? Paul was usually finishing that, bro. Maybe his head's not in the game.
He looked like it wasn't. His body language was screaming. He didn't want to be there again.
More of the same?
More of the same from Pogba. I don't think he's going to get the start against Liverpool based on just he had some decent link-up play in the midfield, but at the end of the day, his body language is just so atrocious. It's just his work rate is low, lethargic. You can tell, like, he gets frustrated in situations. He shows it on the field. And this is not a leader. That's not someone we want playing in the midfield at Manchester United. So I think Jose might have to make the drop.
I think he will. I think based on the team he put out against Fulham, obviously it's a Fulham team, 20th versus first.
Yeah, I have to remember that.
Yeah, but there was a level of work, a work rate that was like, you don't often see it in Pogba, unfortunately. You know, Fred had a crap game. I'll admit it. Big Fred fan, but he did not have a good game. He had his worst, probably his worst United performance.
Yeah, bad
got hooked.
Fred.
But he was still running around the pitch, and so was Piera. But Pogba does not run around the pitch, bro. It's, like, amazing. Like, he started a couple of times, he, like, caught himself and realized that he was walking and then started kind of jogging back, played defense. But he's a midfielder, bro. You got to be, like, lungs bursting all game.
Yeah, no, I actually was watching. I've watched a lot of analysis on YouTube, a lot of the British pundits here. And they just say, you know, they put every single player possible around him. They've tried every single tactical formation around him, and he just is not coming good. So how much is Mourinho to blame here? I mean, at the end of the day, I do think the reason why he is where he is because of the row with the manager. He just doesn't feel like turning up for a match for Manchester United at the moment. But let's jump in second half. Sub, I called it on Twitter. I said, Jose, you gotta rip somebody. And clearly he wanted to shore up that left-hand side. He put Ashley Young in for Marcus Rojo. And shore up the defense he did. 47th minute goal, Phil Jones.
Phil Jones scored.
Oh, and this play started, it just was ugly from the start. Bailly completely out of position. Batshuayi runs in behind. Jones is able to make up ground on Batshuayi, but he kicks it straight into the goal. maybe he thought Romero was staying home here. Romero was coming out, and Jones kind of finished it coolly, as you like, past Romero into the net. Either way, he had enough time to, I think, look at Romero, what he was doing, and he could have kicked it out of bounds. So again, a terrible decision from Phil Jones. And he cost us two goals, really. I'm going to say that that header clearance was pretty poor as well. Maybe one and a half if I'm being friendly here. But terrible stuff from Manchester United. Laughable.
Sir, I got two words for you. Largely justified. Largely justified. There are no defenders on the open market that are as good as the defenders we've got. Dude, Phil Jones, he's only 26, bro. Can you believe that? I feel like he's been in the club for like 20 years, just like sucking.
I'll tell you what, he's not good enough to play.
No, he's not. Not even close. Not even close. And that was just, wasn't a great performance. He definitely gives it his all, but like he just, too many brain farts, too many OGs.
Penalties, FA Cup, cost us the FA Cup. Yep. If you recall that penalty against Hazard. I mean, he's just schoolboy stuff here. Phil Jones, I mean, you're getting paid that money. You know, maybe Southampton needs another defender. Maybe Fulham. You know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you this summer. I do think he's probably getting shipped out. Hell of a performance, hell of a goal. All right, 57th minute. Jose's got to sub him. Get Fred off the field. Rashford comes on, injects some pace in the side. 69th minute, same thing. Lingard for Lukaku. Again, as soon as Rashford and Lingard came on, the two darlings of the English national team coming on the field, injecting energy and pace into the side, exactly what we needed. And that led to a 75th minute chance. Andres Pereira outside the box, hell of a long drive, strikes with his right boot, and almost top corner stuff from Andres. Had to be a one-handed save by the Valencia keeper. I mean, great to see him on the field and taking a chance like this.
Yeah, the Brazilian showing what he's got. I think he had a mixed bag game. It's hard to really evaluate him. He hasn't had a lot of minutes, and it was a shit abject performance from United overall. But I do think like these subs made an impact. You know, I think you try to save him for Liverpool game, but when you brought on Rashford and Lingard, we had a lot more chances. We weren't great, but we definitely produced a lot more in the last 20 than the previous 70.
Yeah, and he says much in the post game presser as well that he wanted to rest these players, but clearly, you know, with Young Boys being Juventus, we got to try to win it, right? 87th minute, we did get our goal. Rashford is red. He is in hella form right now for Manchester United. If there's anything to look at on the bright side, it's Marcus Rashford. Man, he looks to be a top player for Manchester United. Young makes a great cross into the box, and Rashford hits a solid header. It's been a while since I've seen him drill a header like that. Picks the ball in the net, runs to the center spot. Let's go. Let's try to come back. Unfortunately, it was not in the cards. Also, honorable mention, the hockey assist for Lingard keeping that ball in play on that 87th-minute goal as well. So those two subs, Jose did get right. Starting 11, not so much.
Not even close.
That was it. Valencia 2, Manchester United 1. We look at the table in the Champions League, and boy, do we miss a great opportunity to win the group and have a really easy game, or easier game in the round of 16.
You know, I think everyone's focusing right now on just how poor the performance was, the fact that we lost, the fact that Valencia's 15th in the league. But at the end of the day, bro, we're going to get a draw in the next couple of days that is not going to be great. We're going to get one of the big four, right? And
yeah,
we won that game, because it's probably going to mean more than playing Liverpool, because we're just like, we ain't winning the league. We ain't slowing them down.
But, you know,
love to beat Liverpool.
It could mean Mourinho gets fired sooner. So, that you know, I'm in the Mourinho out camp. You have kind of
Who's in these days, dude?
Well, you were kind of on the fence there.
Yeah, and then the last month happened.
Oh, we beat Fulham, you know.
We beat Fulham.
I just don't know where you stand. I haven't talked to you
in
a while. You're hard out.
I'm
so
hard out.
American Red Devils, we are officially
hashtag Mourinho out.
The salt and pepper ain't going to work here no more.
Yeah, I'm good.
Match reaction, possession-wise, Manchester United 55% to Valencia's 45%, so not bad there. Shots on target, Manchester United 5, Valencia 3. But it didn't look that way. The stats would, the performance was just something else than the stats do. But as always in football, the only score that matters is the goals. So Valencia has beaten Manchester United for the first time in 8 meetings between the sides. So Valencia has won 1, drawn 5, and lost 2. So we give up. Not only do we lose, but to a bad Valencia side as well. We've beaten better Valencia sides, including under Sir Alex Chicharito with the goal.
Sir, it was a poor performance all around. Poor performance all around. Speaking of poor performances, Phil Jones is the first Manchester United player to score an own goal away from home in a Champions League match since Mark Lynch did so against Deportiva La Coruña in March 2003. His only senior appearance for the club. But he also was, I think he's the last person to score a Champions League own goal at all was also Phil Jones in 2011.
Yes, it was. Phil Jones, you know, a lot of funny facial expressions and own goals and penalties. There you go. Thanks for the performance. Marcus Rashford's consolation strike for Manchester United was his first headed goal in the Champions League and the first goal in the competition since December 2017 against CSKA Moscow. Boy.
Who, sir? We need him fit and firing, bro, because we don't have a lot of options with Martial getting injured, Sanchez getting injured, Lukaku out of form.
Yes, yeah, Sanchez doesn't really score many goals either, but you know.
He used to. On Arsenal, he did.
Yeah.
That's why we paid all the money, right?
If I could turn back time.
Yeah, you take Mahrez.
Hot off the presses. These are Alex's best shot at Daily Mail headlines.
You know how I do.
Sir, give us your Daily Mail headlines here.
You got to be more, you got to be like more divisive than this, but Liverpool on Jose's mind, starting 11, rest the youngsters.
Yeah, so like we said, Liverpool is on Jose's mind. He was coy after the, in the post-game press conference about it, but I think he's afraid of Liverpool, and it makes no sense to me given there was a chance we could win the group. I mean, there's a chance. And the fact that we're 16 points off Liverpool right now, and it's at Anfield, and he was so content in just parking the bus last year, why is he so worried about resting all these players and not trying to win Valencia away? Because we have the chance to win the group. Like, I knew he wasn't going to start all youngsters because there was a chance we could win the group.
Dude, and success behests success, bro. It's like, if your team is like not playing well at the moment, you want to win every fucking game. Right, we're going to enjoy a massive game on Sunday against the league leaders. Jesus Christ, I hate saying that. The league leaders, Liverpool. We haven't been winning games. We've got to go out to win the freaking game. And we went out to not lose this game. Based on the lineup he put in, the players he didn't start, the players he did start. Sorry, it's not good enough, which is why I'm Jose out. Get out of here.
Our next headline here, how you like that defense now, Eddie? Yeah, terrible performance. Unorganized. Rojo, Bailly, Jones, even Fellaini in certain aspects playing CDM. It was so disorganized. Schoolboy stuff. No one marking a man. I mean, you could go on Twitter and watch some replays. It is really terrible to see these people making this much money playing for this team. And at the end of the day, that's got to be coaching. I mean, Jose puts out the lineup and he coaches them, and we just look like nobody's going over defense. And this is a Jose Mourinho team. How does that make any sense? They're usually like, he's a defensive mastermind, right?
Negative tactics. Supposed to be. He used to be. Not anymore. Now with our team, largely justified, sir. Largely justified. That's all I can say.
There you go, Eddie.
We should buy two defenders in January, bro. Because we should be shipping out three of our defenders, arguably.
Our next headline, Jose's signings have caught the virus. Lukaku, Pogba, Fred, and Bailly all on that field. Jose spent probably $250 million. On those players, even more than that, probably, but looking pretty bad. Bad investments. I mean, like, you know, Lukaku, good season last season, but on the night, I wouldn't start him at Liverpool, right? No, Pogba wouldn't start him at Liverpool. No. Fred wouldn't start him at Liverpool. No. And Bailly, you probably have to. The only one, because of all the defensive injuries, Smalling's out, Lindelof's out, Bailly, you're in there. So at the end of the day, Jose's signings gone bad.
Well, I'll take Bailly over Phil Jones just for his athleticism against, you know, you got to go against Mane, Firmino,
Lindelof,
Salah.
And Smalling, he would not start over, though. The two players. No, the only reason why he's going to start is because of injuries.
I agree with that. But I also, if it's him or Jones, I start Bailly. But that being said, a lot of these signs have skunked. I think it's just Mourinho has just become a skunk. So it's like you can't really judge anyone at the moment. I think Lukaku is not a shit player. I don't think Pogba's a shit player. I don't think Fred's a shit player. But I don't think anyone wants to play for this Jose Mourinho and his negativity and his bullshit excuses that everyone's over. All United fans, for the most part. I think we're 80-20 at this point. Got to be.
No, I think it's closer than you think, actually. I think it's probably 50-50. It's never been more than that on the polls. Maybe 60-40. But the thing...
Do after Liverpool. You got to do after Liverpool, sir.
But yeah, I think
and
Liverpool...
And then the win, and then...
I think if the fans turn, it will be Liverpool, especially that's when they turned... last year, and I think it's never been the same since.
Sure.
But Pogba, I think the board is going to rue the day they turned down that 150, 200 million pound offer from Barcelona after he won the World Cup. And I knew it. after he won the World Cup, I knew he was not happy with Mourinho. He's going to win the World Cup. That's even going to, and I even said it on this pod, he'll make Pogba a worse player because he will use that over Jose. In the season, he has, and now if you sell him, he's going to be worth less, right?
He ain't going to be worth no $200
million. He's never going to be worth the amount after he won the World Cup, and we knew what type of character he was. He didn't get along with the manager, and good old Ed Woodward and the board decided not to deal him. I would have dealt him. I would have dealt him and then spent the cash.
You would have got a good price. I mean, you would have gotten good money. You would have had to pay over the odds.
Fans would have hated that decision. The fans would have hated it, but you could see this coming because in the days of Ronaldo leaving, and I learned that lesson following the United team, when he left United, you don't want to have a player that doesn't want to play for you. It's get rid of them. It's one of those things where it's counterintuitive. You think they would suck it up. You think they could stick it out.
They don't.
They don't. Once they skunk, it's gone. Sir Alex, that was his
philosophy. He was the best of that. Right? He got rid of some studs, bro.
And as soon as Pogba started floating those rumors in the press, I knew since he posed with Raiola and Mkhitaryan in that photograph when Mickey was leaving Manchester United, I knew that Pogba was going to go bad because I knew he was in his agent's camp. He should have not done that. It was bad. It's a bad look for him, especially considering the controversy around the club. Then comes the summer. Then Raiola's firing off rumors. Pogba doesn't deal. Clearly, you don't need to rewalk it all back. The armband, the virus, and now we are today. Pogba, could you sell him for $90 million? Could you sell him if you needed to this summer?
Probably. 90. You're not going to make any money. But let's see. I think what you do is you get rid of Mourinho first. Then you bring in a new manager. If it's more of the same from Pogba, then you got to ship him. But like, this is just a bad situation at the moment. And I think if we had sold Pogba, we would probably have not been able to replace him appropriately. And I'm not sure Mourinho should be trusted with those signings based on what I've seen, you know.
What about Woodward? What about Woodward?
What the hell does Woodward know?
You're going to trust Woodward with the signings? If you're not trusting Mourinho, you're trusting Woodward. And, you know, when I look at those four players out on that field playing like that, I'm just tough times at Manchester United because, again, we spent all the money on the LVG signings. We ditched them too. I think Di Maria, we even lost money getting rid of Di Maria. Yep. We could lose money getting rid of Pogba or Lukaku, especially after these performances. You know, this virus is killing us, killing our players, and someone and something has to happen at this club because poor investments all around.
Start with the host, sir. That's what I say. Start with the host.
We're talking about more than £250 million here. This is like
chump change, bro. Cheddar. Nothing.
Let's get into the post-game presser. Jose's going to cheer us up, right? The manager's asked, what happened out there? He's, quote, we scored two goals. Instead of winning 2-1, we lost 2-1. Cheeky stuff from the manager calling out Phil Jones's goal.
Thanks.
I mean, it was pretty hysterical. He did pretty much score on his own net, making no sense. But Mourinho, he can't resist trolling his own team.
And this is an unbelievable line, sir. This is a ridiculously horrible line.
His next quote, my team improved when I made the changes that I didn't want to make, which is a frustration. I didn't learn anything from this game. Nothing happened. Nothing that happened surprised me at all. So.
Nothing that happened surprised me at all. That's like shots fired, bro. It's like these players are all shit.
I mean, you
signed half of them.
Well, you know, I will have to say that one thing I took away from the fans after this game was a lot of people pumped at Fred and Piera. I know you're a Fred guy and you're a Piera guy too. And there's a lot of people on Twitter that are saying they got to start. They got to have the opportunity. They had the opportunity and didn't look good. You know, in the Fred camp, in the Piera camp, this one's got to hurt watching them on the field playing like that.
It did. I mean, but he also had four midfielders, five midfielders. I mean, that formation made no sense to me. Piera should be playing in midfield instead of as an attacking role. I get you. I agree with you.
He played on the wing at Valencia, though. When he was on,
He played a bit of both. He played more in the center. But I don't know, man. I think like one game doesn't say anything. I think Pogba just showing a lack of effort game after game after game is more of an indictment.
Well, maybe you're seeing these guys. Maybe you're seeing why Mourinho doesn't rate them that much. This critical words from Darren Fletcher. He says, Manchester United have gone back to square one with a slow and lethargic defeat in Valencia. Darren Fletcher, nice guy. Tough words for Manchester United here. And again, it's going back to square one. It's not building on the result from Fulham. It's not gaining confidence. There's no momentum in this side. We take two steps forward, three steps back, one step forward, two steps back. This team has been a tough follow this year. He'll never give up, never surrender, though. But again, the critique here from the ex-United greats, not what you want to see.
No, it's not. And they know it, dude. And they can spot it. And they just, this team is completely inconsistent. Never plays the same. Never has the same formation or lineup. It's kind of a mess.
Kinda. But a little lighthearted comment here from one of the fan cams I watched reviewing the game. Inebriated fan outside a pub was like, "I'm here to get pissed. I used to come here to watch Manchester United." And that kind of sums it up. We don't really get pissed because the games are so early here. But, I mean, I get what he's saying, because at a certain point you're just watching this game. You used to get up for the game, get all fired up, come back wins, you know, like world-class Rooney, Ronaldo, Tevez, you know, Berbatov, all these amazing goals, RVP, and then you're just watching this, and it's just tough. And so you might have an extra pint to pass the time. So I thought that summed up United.
What happened
to
playing exciting football? I mean, if the games were on at 8 p.m., I'd be drinking a lot more than I am now.
I'm glad to hear, sir. No Irish coffee for you. All right. Champions League Group H. That's a wrap. Juventus in first place, 12 points with a plus 5 goal differential. Manchester United in second, 10 points, plus 3 goal differential. Valencia in third, does not qualify. They had 8 points, even goal differential. And then Young Boys with 4 points, 3 against Juventus here. Amazing stuff. Minus 8 goal differential for Young Boys. So Juventus, Manchester United on to the next round. But Juventus get that critical seeding spot that get them a weaker or most likely an easier opponent in the second round. And they're in round of 16.
And imagine what would have happened if we didn't pull out that last minute victory at Juventus, bro. I mean, I'm sure we would have gone out with a more attacking team if we had to win. But who's the no, bro? Because we had to beat Sevilla at home and we looked like complete dog shit. And came out with a similarly defensive team.
No, you're right. We would have.
Because we would have had to go into this game. We would have been on 7 points, and then they would have been on 5, and then if they beat us, they'd go through.
And that's what probably would have happened if we needed to win the game, regardless.
And you would have won that Dishoom bet, bro, because Mourinho would be out right now. He'd be out on Sunday after he loses to Liverpool.
You're not mathematically out of it.
That's true, but it's
close.
It's gaping wide, close. Sir.
Well, hey, let's. The group is behind us. I think we outperformed at the end of the day. We ended on a whimper, right? That's tough to do in any tournament, any cup competition. But, hey, we have to treat the round of 16 as the beginning of the Champions League tournament. Forget Valencia away. It could have been a weak starting 11, et cetera. Blame it because Mourinho wanted to start the players that previously played for Valencia. We just had to put it out the back of our minds.
What's next?
The Champions League draw, Monday, December 17th, 4 a.m. Pacific. Sir, are you waking up to watch this live?
I'm good. I'll get my delayed death sentence, right? You're drawn with PSG.
So our possible matchups for the round of 16, get this. Barcelona, not too shabby.
I'll take
Bayern them. Munich.
Pretty good.
They're okay.
They won a couple.
Borussia Dortmund.
They're probably my second pick.
Have you heard of them? I haven't heard of them. You know, where are they? They
somewhere in Germany.
Somewhere in Germany. Yeah,
they got this kid Pooley. He's pretty
FC
good.
FC Porto, not too bad. PSG.
They got some money.
Financial fair play. Yeah. And then Real Madrid.
3-time winners.
I've heard they're no good.
They're pretty good. Yeah. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
So who do you want?
Porto. It's the only Porto. The odds, I think, because of Sevilla last year.
No way.
The footballing gods are against us. I'm going to say Barca. Bayern,
PSG,
or Real Madrid. It's a lock. You can bet those teams. It's a lock. We're going to get them. One of the top four best teams. Hopefully, we get Porto. But again, I have to think we're in for a top team. And at the end of the day, why not? Why not play against the top European talent so we can just expose
the weaknesses,
the tactics, the golfing class that we currently are watching right now, so the board can just be like, oh my god, like, because this Champions League money is real money,
real
and
money.
They need to invest to get back to those earnings, and we're not going to make top four, and if we get eliminated, it's gonna be tough,
sir. I mean, three of those teams I think we can beat. Three of those teams I think would be really, really difficult. I think we could beat Bayern, Dortmund, and Porto. I think PSG, Real Madrid,
Bayern's
and Barcelona.
Pretty good.
They're good, but that's because they used to be. I mean, I think if like we could beat them, I'm not saying we're going to. We just lost to fucking Valencia. But
again, it's how we play as well. I mean, like, you draw in Crystal Palace, sir. We're barely beating Southampton. We put four
we
past
beat
a bad full like in a very. That's a very lucky. You play that game 10 times, you know, you might win once, right?
Twice, maybe, if you're lucky.
Yeah, and it was. Hey, we're gonna need a lot of luck to get through. Regardless, let's check in with the Twitterverse. It wasn't melting down today.
No way.
At BBC MOTD, Phil Jones is the first Manchester United player to score an own goal in the Champions League since Phil Jones versus Benfica in 2011. Hysterical stuff. Phil Jones not getting a lot of love on Twitter lately.
Really so.
Our next tweet, at Samuel Luckhurst. Nice bit of sportsmanship. Rashford went over to applaud the Valencia fans who showed their appreciation for his efforts. Valencia fans chanting Juan Mata's name as well. Antonio Valencia tried to make a quick getaway before being told to applaud the Manchester United fans. Antonio Valencia.
He did get hissed at for like 80 minutes of the game after he put that tackle into their left back.
Well, rightfully so. He should have some tough skin. You know, it's like either way, you got to clap the United support. You lost away in Valencia. You have fans spending their hard-earned money to travel out to watch that shit performance. Valencia is a great town, but it's a shit performance in a great town.
And it's December, so the beach is not nice as it usually is.
Yeah, but English people, they don't like the sun too much. You know, they prefer
the December beach.
Prefer the pubs. At Sergey MUFC, you all wanted Pierre, Fred, and Pogba. You got it. Guess what? We're still fucking drivel, mate. Hashtag MUFC, sir. Those are some of your favorite players.
Can't argue with
that. Fucking drivel.
I mean, I would have liked to see them in a midfield three, but they did play like crap, so I'm not going to argue against it.
And, you know, we didn't see them with Lingard or Rashford or Martial or Lukaku, right? You know, there are combinations in the front three that might open it up for them as right. well. So, you know, it's hard to judge this match, really, as far as you can't write anyone off. I agree with you. But it's not a great indictment of Fred, especially, who's been slated. And, you know, Mourinho seems to enjoy when he slates a player and puts him on the field and he does bad. And maybe it's because the player is being slated. Maybe it's because he doesn't have any confidence. So there is a cause and effect with the Mourinho that's kind of people unvalued as far as commentary goes.
Think about a young player that's moving to, taking a step up in the leagues from, where was he? He was at
Shakhtar.
What was that? So it's
Ukraine.
Ukraine league going to England, bro. So he had played in the Champions League, put in good performances. Every player moving up, most players don't just hit it from the ground running and just start banging in goals. Banging performances, but like the guy's struggling, and what does the manager say after the game, after he gets yanked right in the 60th minute? He's like, everything I knew, I already knew, which is what? An indictment of those players that got hooked, that had shit performances. Like, that's not what you should be saying. And these players, they're human beings, bro. It's like I know we dish on Paul Pogba.
They're not regular human beings. These players get paid a lot of money. So the thing
they
is,
do, but they're still humans.
Very sensitive because
but they're confidence players.
I know, but they're very. The problem is the new players coming up aren't okay with the Mourinho criticism because they're not tough Englishmen like he's used to coaching the John Terrys of the world. They're definitely tougher than these young all stars coming up with all the money, all that supreme gear. At Jonathan Schrager, I'm no football Einstein, but it's abundantly clear that MUFC plays significantly better with more mobile players to low Lingard, Rashford, Shaw and Martial, if both fit, must start at Anfield again. Jose hit the negative tactics. That starting 11, you know, missing the pace and the work rate that all these players provide that United need to win right now. It was abysmal.
They need to win, and I'm not going to argue against this because I think all great United teams back in my memory have had quick mobile players, right? Think about the front three in 07-08. I mean, that was like the most exciting trifecta probably to this day in the Premier League era. And we need those players on the pitch because they open up defenses, and today we just had a lot of slow players. If Lukaku is the fastest player on the pitch, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I know, but it's like DeLoe, he's not yet the solution. He's played in like three games. Like, let's chill out a little bit.
No,
Lingard's been inconsistent at best. He had a good Fulham game. Rashford, again, he's in form. Martial was, then he kind of got
Shaw's
cold.
Shaw's been good.
I mean, Shaw's been, he started off
certainly
hot.
Certainly more
kind
mobile
of,
than Rojo or Young,
the
sir.
Whole point is that, yes, these are more mobile players. Yes, I think they'll make a difference playing on the field. It will look a lot better than it did today. But at the end of the day, Liverpool, I think, is going to be a real wake-up call for this side because I don't think Rashford and Lingard are the solution. They're close. They might be one day. But as far as today being the bang-on number 9 in Manchester United, how many billion are the club worth? $4 billion that Marcus Rashford needs to be leading the line. I think we need some reinforcements here at Manchester United. Next tweet at United reports some positive news here. The youth system, always a watch here at Manchester United. Shola Shortire has become the youngest player in UEFA Youth Cup history at the age of 14 years and 314 days. To start a match.
So what were you doing at 14 years old?
I was surely not doing what this guy is doing. I think I was skateboarding down the street in New Jersey or something along those lines. But Shortire, I mean, I watched some highlights of him. I mean, he's a tiny tot. Tiny
he is
tot
small,
can
bro.
Move.
He is young.
Tiny tot can move. So, you know, hopefully in 6 years, he'll help us win the league.
That might be the next time we win it, sir.
It might be the next time we win it. But you system behind us. Next match, mate. It is the Northwest Derby, Liverpool versus Manchester United. The game of games at Anfield, Sunday, December 16th at 8 a.m. Pacific. Get up. I don't care.
Generous time.
I don't care about that Valencia match. I don't care about that Crystal Palace match. I don't care about anything.
Any of those matches.
I care about this game. Every United player, every United fan should be getting up for this match, regardless of where we are on the table. Never say die. Glory, glory, Manchester United. Let's go and kick a red, sir. Let's go get it.
Dude, let's show them who's boss, bro. Because, you know, they're getting big heads, made the Champions League final. Certainly playing better than we are this year, but they acted like they won the treble, bro. It's like these fucking Liverpool fans like run their mouths more than
these
any fan.
Liverpool.
I'm sorry, they're the worst of the worst, bro. They just like
Chelsea's
delusional.
Pretty bad.
No, they're Liverpool worse because at least Chelsea have actually won things in the recent.
No, the
history.
Fans, but no, Liverpool are like pretty bad. Well, actually the Liverpool fans, I think it was so bad for so long that they actually just like kind of clipped wings there for a little bit. Now they're starting to come out of the woodwork and talk
bro.
A lot of smack, right? And Jamie Carragher is loving
Jamie
this on Sky Sports and
spitting
all the punditry.
On little girls.
But again, if there's anything that should be motivating the board to fire Mourinho, it's the fact we're 16 points off of Liverpool. That is completely unacceptable. There's nothing more that's a red flag than the fact that Liverpool is on fire right now. Manchester City, that hurts. But look at their silverware they've won. Look at the history of that club. I mean, if you look at Liverpool, they're our real rival. Let's not take the eye off the ball because, you know, we're fighting them for the most successful side in English football. I mean, that
right
is the title
it,
that we covet so much. And if they, you know, win this league, sir, you
and
know,
they
it's
go on
a
run,
like
bro.
Donkey
pick
Kong.
Up an EFL Cup, pick up an FA Cup. It quickly evaporates, bro. You know, we got a 2-point lead in leagues, and we've got like a 6 or 7 point lead in silverware. But that could evaporate in a couple of shit years, bro, easily.
The last time we played Liverpool at Anfield, it was the infamous draw in October 2017. United were second in the league heading into the match, and Liverpool were seventh. And Jose parked the bus. And ever since this game, this was the game where it turned for him. This game, I think it was it. People wanted him out after this. This huge Mourinho out call. Before, everyone loved Mourinho. We were doing well. We thought we were going to win the league in second place. And then he goes and parks the bus at Liverpool. This is where it turned for me. I think where I saw a noticeable the support kind of go the other way and say Mourinho will never be the United manager because he doesn't have the bollocks to attack Liverpool away.
I mean, I understood. I think there were some players missing.
Dude, he parked the bus. This was like, we were
playing
great.
I remember. It was 0-0.
We're in form, 4-1s. No. Doing great, and he just shuts it off.
Wasn't
he
great.
Shut it off.
Wasn't
he played
great.
Mourinho ball against Liverpool in seventh.
It only took me a year to come around to it, sir.
No, I know, but this was like, I remember, I wasn't Mourinho out after this, but this was when I saw
I do
it.
Remember people start turning it heavily because they were so pissed about how
this
he came
This is Sevilla
out.
Last year. It was these two games that I saw everyone go hard against Mourinho. And, you know, this. So I think this is a huge match because if he goes there and parks the bus, I think the fans are going to turn
Oh, he's parking the bus, bro. Like what? It's the only thing he's got. It's
with who? Phil Jones can't park anything.
Who you got? Everybody's got. Every defender he's got put him on the pitch.
He can't even. He can't parallel park. He can't park regular park his base.
Park at somebody else's spot.
Last time Manchester United beat Liverpool at Anfield, get this, January 17th, 2016, under Louis van Gaal's army, Rooney with the winner in the 76th minute.
Great game.
Liverpool were ninth in the league at that time, so it's been a while since we pipped Liverpool for 3 at their house, and that shows that the tide has been turning. The Liverpool are ninth in that season, then seventh last year. Now
second.
first.
Now they're first. Yeah.
First.
And Manchester United keep bobbling around, you know.
What are we, eighth, seventh? Yeah. It's hard to keep track these days.
Sixth.
So I tell you what, LVG, he had one thing, and it was only one thing. He could get up. He get his boys up for a Liverpool game.
Yes.
He had a great record against Liverpool. And it's amazing. I mean, like, Louis van Gaal was not great, but he got the boys up and motivated for this game. Maybe it's because we still have Rooney around. Maybe it's because we still have some of the old guard that understood how important this game is. But, like, who's going to be that guy this game? I guess Ashley Young. A small lane to, yo, this is no joke. I mean, Herrera gets it. Herrera starting.
I don't know about Ashley Young, but yeah, the all-time record between these two sides. A little history here. 88 wins for Manchester United, 65 draws, 75 losses. So we have the edge only by a bit. And the two clubs are the most successful English teams in both domestic and European competitions. Between them, they've won 38 league titles, 8 European Cups, 4 UEFA Cups, 4 UEFA Super Cups, 19 FA Cups, 13 League Cups, 1 FIFA Club World Cup, that's ours, 1 Intercontinental Cup, and 36, of course, the most important trophy, Community Shields.
And an Eric Cantona. Yeah.
Each club can claim historical supremacy over the other, United for their 20 league titles to Liverpool's 18, and Liverpool for being European champions 5 times to United's 3. Manchester United have 1 more total trophies than Liverpool, which is why we say we're the best side in all English football. And they also lead the Merseysiders in so-called major honors as well. So all of the trophies that you care about, we lead them in every one except for European championships.
Which they won back in the day.
So tight stuff. You know, we have the lead on them in the league. We have those 20 times, but they have 18, goes to 19, and, you know, they're on the rise.
Changes everything, bro.
Time for someone to figure something out at Manchester United.
Who's in charge?
Who's in charge? All right, injuries. You know, the hand of God here from the football gods injuring Scott McTominay, had a knock in training. Apparently, he was going to start the Valencia match, so he's a slight doubt for Liverpool. Smalling, his foot, he is out. Martial, the good news, hamstring injury, kind of unknown. He's a slight doubt for Liverpool, but I think he's going to make a comeback. Mourinho awarded it was a pre-injury. Luke Shaw, he has a knock, no return date. Sanchez, out long term, probably until the transfer window. We might deal him. And then Lindelof, he was actually posted he was heading back to Carrington today. So starting back training, great to see.
Got a lot of games coming up.
Victor Lindelof, the player who wasn't even starting last year, who now has turned everyone around since we get to watch Phil Jones play and score a few goals.
Makes you miss the Iceman, doesn't it?
Yeah. So jumping in the lineup. I sent out a poll this week. Does Pogba start against Liverpool? Hashtag MUFC.
You said it before the Valencia game, though.
It was, I think it ended sometime during the match. So the options were, hell yes, Pogba starts, and no, Mourinho will drop. 56% of the American Red Devils fans say, hell yes, he's going to start. 44% say, no, Mourinho will drop. Again, this is the before, so maybe a little skewed, but what do you think, sir?
Sir, he's not in my starting 11. He's getting dropped for sure, bro. There's no way he's going to start.
I think there's more of a chance he's going to start than you think, because I my gut is no way Jose. But knowing, you know, get it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, very good.
But I do think that he just might play him in the big game because he's the big player. And at the end of the day, that's, he, you know, if he shines or he dies, that is the cross to bear. And maybe Mourinho could avoid some headlines if Pogba goes out there and plays a shit match. I think he would get up for it if he plays. So in my opinion, I think there's more of a yes than you think. Because my gut was no as well. You don't see the angle that I see.
I see where you're going. I always thought, like, he's definitely going to drop him because he wants to win.
If he drops and loses.
Right. If he drops and loses, then he's fucked. But if he leaves them and Pogba walks around the pitch, which I don't think he would for Liverpool. I mean, come on. He can't get up for freaking Liverpool away at Anfield. Then like he's just like, yo, bro, I showed you to sell this guy. You know, so he basically like deflects blame, which is a Mourinho thing.
I mean, like, it's more, you know, a little jersey it's kind jersey of
move.
Tactics
it's
right
a jersey
there.
Move.
So there is some sort of, like, if you look at the dark arts of Jose Mourinho, managing being the greatest troll of all time, there is an argument for him to start. Because it acts like a shield. Pogba plays like shit. Screw him.
What about a Bastum, bro? What about a Bastum?
Lineup news per Manchester Evening News. Mourinho has confirmed Ashley Young, Lingard, and Rashford will start against Liverpool on Sunday. So you can pencil them into your lineup, sir. Who is your starting 11? Who do you think can take us to victory.
Sir, here's the question. Is Young starting the right back or left back position? But we'll see. So I got Dave Saves, bro. I think Romero's taking seat back on that bench. Right back is going to be Valencia. Always in for a nice studs up tackle at Anfield. I like that. I think we're going to have a center back pairing of Eric Bailly and Phil Jones based on who's available. And then I'm thinking a midfield three of Herrera, Matic, Fellaini. He's bringing the big boys. And then a front three of Marcus Rashford, Tony Martial came from France, and Jesse Lingard scores bangers.
All righty. I see your lineup here. I'm going to put Dave Saves in net, Young, Bailly, Rojo, Dalot, getting the youngster with injury, energy on the right-hand side. Matic, Herrera, Pogba. I'm bringing Pogba in because you paid that amount of money. You got to play him in the big game. He was a difference maker at City. So you got to try Paul Pogba. Please try.
Please try.
Martial, he comes back from his fitness race. Rashford and Lingard, clearly Jose said they are going to be in. I think that team looks good. Now, interesting enough, on Monday Night Football, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher were talking about who would start the combined starting 11 for Liverpool and Manchester United. And not many players from Manchester United were making it in there. De Gea.
Well, they're first, Pogba, and we're in sixth, so... Who would make it in your starting 11 combined?
Maybe Matic.
Yeah.
Pogba.
When he's playing well.
And Martial. You know, I would say De Gea. Those four, I think, would make it into Liverpool. And that's generous, too.
Nobody in the defense, which is an indictment, bro. That's sad.
If you look at it's a blooper reel at defense at Manchester United right now. I mean, that's the worst part of our team. You know, you look at the attacking players. Lukaku last season would get in, probably.
Yeah, not this season. For sure, you know, last season.
But... Yeah.
Pogba will probably get in last season, more so than this season.
Liverpool steamrolling, though. I do think that...
Those odds. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Liverpool's
on a roll, so we got to take it. I do think that we can beat them any given Sunday. You've seen the movie. We can beat Liverpool at home. We can pip them for three. Jose invented the smash and grab.
I've also seen this story before, bro. It's like, we could definitely win this game, without a doubt. But are we going to? Is the question.
There's headwinds.
There is.
There's headwinds.
We're not playing well. They're playing lights out, you know, but they play good at home, but like, they're definitely vulnerable. They've lost on the road a bunch, but they are playing at home and they've been pretty good at home.
Yeah, and your local bookie, he's checked those headwinds. Manchester United to win plus 521, so you get five times your money for betting the Manchester United win at Anfield. Liverpool, the huge favorite, minus 164. You're going to have to pony up that cash if you want to bet Liverpool to win. And the draw, plus 322. Draws we usually see in the plus 200 category. But this one, it looks like a lock for Liverpool to beat us. As far as the bookies are concerned, they run smart money, sir. It's a strong indictment.
Bookies are usually right. I'm sure there's plenty.
Valencia won as well.
I'm sure there's plenty of, like, oh, yeah, that's true. Plenty of chump Liverpool fans tilting the odds. Like, of course. But that being said, we're not the favorites, bro. We are not the favorites.
No, not in the least, especially 16 points off top. Score predictions, what do you think? You see that indictment from the book. You got to predict the win.
Well, nil-nil. Park the bus, Man United. Playing football the Josie way.
I'm probably going to say, I don't want to be called a traitor here, but I think Liverpool is going to put three. I think they'll probably be 3-1, 3-2. I'll say 3-2. I'll call it like a bruiser, back and forth. But I'm trying to be realistic here. You're looking at the league leaders. They're in form. And if you judge us off Fulham, I mean, you got to be very kind to get to a nil-nil or a Manchester United win off of that Fulham performance. Because did you see what Liverpool did to Bournemouth?
I know.
They dispatched that side. Yep. And we had a lot of trouble with Bournemouth.
That's true.
Barely pipped them in the end. So I'm trying to be realistic here. I'm not a traitor, I swear. I want a new manager so I can predict more.
Nobody
wins.
Wants United to win more than Jose Mourinho and the two of us.
Exactly. Jumping in, United in the news. Duncan Castle's podcast. Lukaku, this is a rumor, he dumps Raiola for a new agent, Pastorello. So Lukaku kind of splitting ways with Raiola.
That's a good sign.
The greatest troll. And I think this is a split between Lukaku and Pogba King.
Yes, I would agree
as well. They came in as boys, but I do think... Lukaku's come out in the press with comments, hey man, just suck it up,
be a man,
just play for the team. And you know, Pogba's clearly been, you know, hanging out with Raiola, trolling hard. So I do think there's been a split between those two. And Lukaku, he seems, you know, lost his mojo a bit.
Yes,
lost his
bro, because he's capable of some good things. I know everyone, dude, all of a sudden he's the new Morata. But remember, he did score a lot of good goals and a lot of important goals for us last year. I think he still has it in him. He's an effective player. He's a fucking unit. And we're playing in the Premier League where a unit can be very, very effective. So I'm willing to give Lukaku a lot more time.
Yeah, and you have to take into consideration it was a World Cup summer.
Yep.
You got a lot of minutes for Belgium.
They love to play 90 minutes of Lukaku, right? They play him, like, no matter what, they always play 90 minutes of him.
So maybe it's kind of a wash of a first half of the season. Hopefully he comes back in the second half. You never know. With this manager, probably not. But hey, speaking of the manager, Jose Mourinho, our next article, pergoal.com, quote, nobody in Manchester or connected with Manchester cares more about the club than myself. I find that hard to believe. Maybe Sir Alex, who watches all those games laughing in the stands, I think he cares a little more than Jose Mourinho. But again,
Bobby Charlton, maybe.
Hyperbolic comments from Mourinho, trying to, I guess, dissuade all the rumors of him to Real Madrid. What do you make of this? You think he cares that much?
No, I don't think he gives a shit.
I think he cares a lot because he's a winner. Right, Jose wouldn't get where he is in his career without being a winner. I do think he cares a lot. I just think he's more, you know, it's the team that's playing in such a way and the players are performing so poorly that he seems to not care, right? It's kind of like a lost situation. It's all started in preseason with the complaining about the signings, right?
Yep.
He's like, hey, if you're not going to give me defenders, then what the hell am I going to do? And that's his attitude. So I do think he wants to win, but he's putting these players out there being like, look, this isn't good enough, right? It's just not working. And he puts a lot of pressure because he's not going to be there like Guardiola. Be like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Pass it in triangles. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like really all up in their shit, like 24/7, like a weirdo, you know, like wearing extra large scarves. He's going to be like, yo, you're Paul Pogba. You make this much money. Go out there and win. Like, what do you need?
He needs some triangles, bro. I need some triangles drawn, apparently.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
That's oh, yeah. God, imagine
that's a draw. I hate Pep Guardiola. All right, next article. Sky, per Sky Sports. Neville on Lukaku. This is referring to Lukaku's weight. Lukaku said he gained some weight and needed to lose it from the World Cup. Quote, in the modern age, when you have 55 staff supporting every team, nutritionists, strength and conditioning coaches, I struggle to understand how a player can be allowed to feel like he has too much muscle or is overweight, particularly when he's fit. I have to agree here. He's been playing in, like, how many months has the league been going on? And then Lukaku's just mysteriously, oh, well, my weight's off. It's not like this is 1982 when you're hitting the pub and having a few pies. This is, you know, $4 billion club, top training facilities. They can dial up his muscle mass any way they want. He has all the resources at his fingertips to figure out what is the best body type and to, you know, create workouts, a workout plan to reach that. And he's not.
That's why you have Gary Neville, bro, because he just says things that make a lot of sense. It's an absolutely good point, you know? Because
yeah,
I defend Lukaku. A bit of an excuse where he isn't playing well, but Neville's like, dude, do you know what kind of facilities they have at Carrington? Do you know what kind of staff that Manchester United has hired in order to just look over the overall fitness and nutrition of the players? Yeah, it's like a little suspicious.
Yeah, this is a shot at him because Neville didn't have this shit when he played there, bro.
Yeah, fish and chips. Fish and chips and pints, bro.
It's not like now in 2018, they're pretty spoiled. So it is true. Like, Lukaku has all the resources. So either way, Lukaku, I don't care. Maybe it's an excuse, but get it right. Get it right, start scoring goals. Next article, this is pretty funny, per ESPN UK. Manchester United given no indication where Tottenham match will be played. If you haven't heard, Tottenham are building the new stadium. I actually went to their old stadium. Wow, that was a dump. New stadium is supposed to be really nice, but again, it's not
late.
Being completed. It's
late.
And so Tottenham has actually, they extended their lease, I think, where they play at Wembley.
Yep.
Then there was bad field conditions there as well because
they just
play
NFL games.
And then, but they haven't extended it. So Tottenham actually don't know where they're going to play the match. Manchester United has told fans they can't even sell them tickets. They don't even know what the allotment is because they have no indication from Tottenham what's going on. And this is the funny thing about English football is where the teams operate so independently of each other, where I think there was a game between the Chiefs and the Rams that was going to be played in Mexico City, and then the NFL decided that it shouldn't be there because the field was too bad. Like, you have some operating body managing things, but because of this issue with the stadium, Tottenham's basically saying, like, not telling Manchester United,
yeah,
like,
but
what's
shouldn't
up.
The FA be on this, right? Shouldn't the FA be like, yo, you got to tell us, you have to have a lock before the start of the season? Are you kidding me? It's a month out, and fans don't know where they have to get a train ticket to? It's a little ridiculous.
No, well, they thought it was going to be done, and it's not. So then, like, Tottenham, like, literally has to go negotiate a deal with a separate stadium, or, you know, it's kind of crazy because the teams are more independent in Europe versus, you know, the more socialist sports structure.
Oh, there you go.
You know, salary caps,
heavy hand
kind of stuff we have going on. No relegation MLS type of stuff here in the States.
Good luck with that.
And our next segment, Sir Alex's scouting report. Alex, he was scouting Kalidou Koulibaly for Napoli. You watched that match against Liverpool. Give us your take. What are your scouting notes on the defender?
Sir Koulibaly. Haven't seen much of him. Heard a lot of good things, read a lot of good things, but I did watch this match. And you know what? Napoli did not have a great game, but he looked like he was all over the pitch, bro. I mean, he's a unit, absolute monster. He did let the goal, to be fair. He got beat by Salah. But that being said, like, he had a lot of good tackles. He was great in the air, bro. Not as good as Van Dijk, but he's very good in the air. The only issue is that he's 27. You know, it's like you're going to pay $90 million and he's going to be 28 by the start of next season. But, hey, bro, he looks the real deal. He looks like a top five in the world.
He played until 5 years, right?
Yeah. If well, our luck, 6 months. But
again, I said I'm more of a blockhead, slabhead guy. But so what do you think? You've seen Harry Maguire.
He's a better passer. Well, Koulibaly's a better passer. But Maguire's playing in the league, right? And there's always, like, I know it is Serie A. He plays for Napoli, plays in Champions League. But there's always the fact that, like, what did Fergie used to do? I'm telling you, buy in the league. You don't have to get a slaphead. Who's the watered down slaphead?
Yeah, it's hard to say these days with defenders. You know, Phil Jones, I would regard as a former slaphead, but no more. Yeah. Again, United heavily linked to defenders this January. I have to think we need to buy someone, regardless, Mourinho in, Mourinho out. I unfortunately believe Mourinho will be at this club. That bet that we made, I do think you're going to come good on that because I think he's going to stick around until he's mathematically out of top four. And that's going to be a little while longer despite, you know, us getting pegged back at the weekend. But I'm hoping that does not happen. Fan questions. Ben from Victoria, Canada. Thanks for the email. Quite a question here, but we were going to get through it. Is there any coach out there that can replace Mourinho and turn Old Trafford back into a feared venue for opposing teams? Wow. I just wish
I missed that.
Is there a coach available that would be able to develop young players like Rashford, Martial, Piera, Lindelof, and Bailly, but also oversee promising youth players we have like Greenwood, Chong, Gomez, and the boys on loan like Fosu Mensah and Axel Tuanzebe?
That's a good question.
I hope there's a manager out there, sir. I mean, I would have to think that's Pochettino, mainly because attacking football, believes in youth players, done a lot with a little. And I think that's what we need in Manchester United. We kind of have to, fans need to have a more long-term view of this club. Mourinho, we sold our soul for the short fix. The easy fix was Mourinho. Bring him in, he wins in 2 years, he blows up your club, he leaves. And that never
it
was
happened.
And we would sell our soul for that league post Fergie just because we want to get it
21. Oh yeah,
yeah, because we want to get it done. We want to get it in because we don't become Liverpool. But at the end of the day, Mourinho came in and Pep Guardiola happened, and that season we were screwed. And Liverpool might be screwed this season as well because of the same team. But at the end of the day, it's all about the long term. It's all about the youth. It's all about attack, attack, attack. The Manchester United way, playing football.
Dude, it's about youth and playing exciting football. That's what Manchester United fans care about. And winning, right? My only problem, I'm coming around to Pochettino. I think he does fit the bill in a lot of regards, right? He's brought a lot of young Tottenham players up through the ranks that have been very, very successful. He plays attacking football, but they're not truly feared because they don't win silverware, right? And, like, they haven't won silverware, and they should have won silverware. And that's
Mourinho
my
won silverware. Mourinho won a lot of silverware.
Yeah, he's won silverware everywhere, bro. Everywhere he's gone, he's won silverware. But he's also blown up everywhere he's gone. So I guess, like,
coming out the ears.
We need a less glamorous, like, a less, like, volatile coach. That's why you do Pochettino the long haul. You get in some layers of administration that's, like, running the club away from Edward just does noodle sales, and you have someone else actually run the football club. You need that, like, ASAP, along with a long-term coach that's not going to be a, like, quick fix. Because as much as I want Zidane, he's not going to be in for 6 years, bro. He's a quick fix, right?
Yeah, he's coming into a big club for a short period of time, and I would argue that he got lucky. Some of it was he got lucky at Real Madrid. He's higher beta than a Poch. But again, if you look at Tottenham, when Pochettino lives, you could when Pochettino leaves, you could manage that side, sir. You know, the stability, the philosophy, it's ingrained in those players. You know, he has developed amazing talent. Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, like across the board, they've come good. He's been the manager there, and he's played them in their right position. He's used the right tactics. He's played amazing attacking football, right? He hasn't got over the finish line, but at the end of the day, if we were Manchester United with that side playing in that way and we couldn't pip City, I'd be much happier than being, you know, where we are right now with Jose Mourinho having won, you know.
And they're playing attacking football, right? So they haven't won anything, but
Community Shield.
End of the day, bro.
League Cup.
Spurs are a bunch of baby bitches, bro. And they're like a second tier club, even though they're better than us right now. So that maybe that's why he didn't win. Because Spurs are never going to win anything, really.
Yeah, well, Spurs just don't win anything, really. Either way, also the English press like him.
English press, them. And that's something that. Oh, a lot of that. A lot of London fans. Running for the pressers that are Spurs fans.
English press just put so much pressure on Moyes, he couldn't handle it. With LVG, they just laughed at him because of Queen's Park reasons and all the things he would say. Sex masochism.
Slapping gigs. Slapping gigs in the face.
So I don't think if anyone took him seriously, he's such a character. And Mourinho, they hate.
Yep.
And it'd be nice to go to a Pochettino with who they love so that you're kind of getting some more positive just vibes going
on.
No
more trolls. Yeah. Get someone that everyone likes. Because people already hate United based on our success, right? And the fact that we own the Premier League in 2013.
Do they like Klopp?
Because he's a doofus and he hasn't won anything either.
Yeah.
And there's a shit ton. Mirror Bros, all Liverpool fans. Like, a lot of these publications are like, have a ton of Liverpool fans, and the bias is completely clear.
Salt intensifies. All right. We just want to say thank you for listening week in, week out. We would not be a pod without you guys. Want to give you shout outs for the top cities downloads over the last 7 days. Number one, coming in, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. If you can believe it.
That's a new one.
All the way across the pond, sir. Well, across a few ponds.
Couple ponds, sir. And the next 8 spots are all American, but Saudi Arabia, top spot. How about that? Wyoming, Michigan, number 2. Chi-Town, Illinois, number 3.
Tallahassee, Florida, San Francisco, California, San Diego, California, Brooklyn, New York, Elmhurst, Illinois, Palo Alto, California, and Central District mate, Hong Kong.
What's up, lads? How we doing?
Yeah, and maybe they're listening in Riyadh because they might be buying the team.
I was thinking
they were
that.
Given some inside Manchester United info across the pond. We appreciate all the American Red Devils fans as well as all the international American Red Devils fans.
And if anyone from the Saudi government is listening, we are available for hire at a premium rate.
Alex is his scouting report
yeah,
is
I am.
Available.
My scouting is top draw.
I'm set. Nice. All right. You can support the pod with our Sunfrog store. We got some American Red Devils gear. Again, Alex is getting all of his siblings mugs for Christmas.
Get your family some
mugs.
Logos. They look great.
And we're also giving away stickers for free. Our logo sticker, you can just, if you leave a review on iTunes, 5 stars preferably, don't leave a shit review.
No shit posts.
You send us a screenshot to americanreddevils@gmail.com or you can DM us on Twitter @USAReddevils. We will mail you a free sticker, free swag, sir. We're giving
Who doesn't
away
like
for the
swag?
Holidays.
And they look good, dude. They look very good.
Hey, huge game this weekend. I think this is it for Mourinho. It is judgment day for Manchester United this season. We limped into the round of 16
Most
in the Champions
game of the season,
League.
Sir. Most important game of the season again.
We've just been eating our medicine every game watching these lineups Mourinho's putting out. But it doesn't. This game is huge. I want to say it matters more than the City game. We were playing away, playing at the empty had. We are playing away at Anfield, and if he can't get the boys to show energy against Liverpool, who are number one in the league, that should be pissing everyone off. It pisses me off. I know it raises your blood pressure.
Woo!
I honestly believe if we lose this game in an embarrassing fashion, it's over for Mourinho, because I think the fans, if we lose this match, it's going to be dreadful Depends it's going to be dreadful.
As you said, as always, it always depends on the manner in which you do lose or win.
Yes.
Right? But if we get ripped to shreds, which you know is possible, I never want us to do, even if it meant that we would get rid of Mourinho on Sunday night or Monday morning, I still don't want to see it because I love this goddamn club more than Mourinho thinks, right? He thinks he's the number, he cares about this club more than anyone else. Beg to differ, but it's possible. But I don't know, sir. I think he's going to eke out enough to keep, like, another month. I just have this feeling. I know he's been eking, but he's the king of the eke.
He's the king of the eking it out, and it just drives me insane. But at the end of the day, it's like, this game, if we were to come out like we did against City, it's done. I think the fans will be like, I think it'll be 70% Mourinho out. I think everyone would be shouting it.
Get that poll ready, sir.
And I think, can the board keep him until Champions League in February? That's the real question. Because, I mean, you can't, I mean, you want to say, like, he's a great manager. It's kind of this weird, it doesn't make any sense. He's this great manager, what all these things.
But he does it every time. This happens every time he's at a club.
But you would think that.
And we even knew it was going to happen. And we just thought, oh, he won't do it here.
Yeah. And you would want to think that it'd be more like, in the boardroom, they're like, look at all the things he's won. He's won the Champions League before. Like, clearly, you should have him coaching your players in the round of 16 if you want to advance, right? I'm sure that's the thought process. In some way, it does kind of make sense a little bit. But if you look at the footballing product on the field, it is nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. You know, it's worse than Moyes.
I think it's only because he's lost the players more so than Moyes.
Maybe not worse than Moyes. Worse than LVG, I would say, for sure.
That was terrible. I'm not going to lie, but LVG was so consistently bad and boring and dreadful and crosses and no shots and no chances. We've had flashes.
Bad.
We're terrible, bro. You got to fire Mourinho. I agree. But
bad, dude. Very bad. The players he puts in the lineup are bad. You know, it's like, the before we come out bad, we let an early goal. I mean, like,
we're not good, but you gotta remember, go watch some LVG games, bro. 86 crosses.
You hate on LVG so hard. He was
terrible.
He won the FA Cup. They fired him without telling him. You know, it's like, that was pretty bad.
He was terrible for his signings, bro. His signings were terrible.
I will say, you're very salty on Louis van Gaal's army. But again, Mourinho is pretty bad right now, too. He had that one season, but right now we're struggling. Hey, regardless of our struggles, I'm going to be up for that match on Sunday, sir. Are you going to be up for that match on Sunday?
No doubt,
we'll be
bro.
Fit
I'm always
fired,
up for Liverpool, dude.
Out of my seat, cheering for Manchester United, singing those Liverpool songs. Build a bonfire, build a bonfire. Put the scousers on the top. Put the city in the middle and burn the fucking wire.